Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Faith All Over the Place. I'm trying to adjust my volume here. I don't know what's going on with this anymore. This is episode lucky number 13 for us.
Yep.
Crawling along at a slow pace and coming to you pre-recorded on a blistering hot day here in the Sonoran Desert. I'm Stephen Cruiser. Windy too, which is why if I sound a little stuffy. And joining me from deep in the woods of Georgia. Deep. I mean, the NSA doesn't know where he lives. My good friend, Chris Queen. How are you today, Chris?
Good. I live in the world capital of humidity today, so it's been crazy.
Oh, yeah. We're just, the monsoon season is going to start here in a couple of days, but the wind has decided to herald it early. We had a, we got one of those emergency alerts that gets pushed to all the phones last night.
Yeah.
About a windstorm, dust storm advisory. And it wasn't 5 minutes before it kicked off. I looked outside and all of a sudden it looked like nuclear winter out there. There was so much dust.
Oh my gosh.
Because it hasn't rained here in a while. So when the wind's kicking up everything.
What do you do in those situations? Do you just stay inside and
If you're on the road, you pull over and you leave your lights on. You're like, they're the scariest when you're driving. That's when they're absolutely terrifying. I've been in a couple of them where long stretches of road between here and Phoenix, and it's just you're supposed to pull way off the road if you can. It's counterintuitive. You're supposed to turn your lights off because if people see the lights, they might think you're driving.
Right.
So, but if they get close enough to you and they see that your lights aren't on, then they'll know you're not driving. So it's a weird.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not like when you're in the fog and you leave your lights on because the lights bounce off every. I don't know. It's scary though. But right. I just stayed in. Heck, it was pretty windy when I went for my walk this morning, and I came back and had a little grit in my teeth.
a little texture.
It's that time of year. Yeah, taste buds.
A little texture.
So we're recording this on a Tuesday before Independence Day, and I'm really excited about it because, as you know, the morning briefing doesn't get holidays off. And it's been a while since we had a Friday or Saturday, 4th of July, since the 4th has fallen on a Friday or Saturday.
That's true.
I've been doing it for 6 years, so I had to have had a weekend 4th of July in there at some point. But most of my tenure at the morning briefing, I've had to work on Independence Day, so I haven't done anything. I mean, my friends are all like the bug grilling, and it's great, and it's wonderful, but I stay home and it's, you know, and then I make myself a hot dog because I'm not a communist, Chris.
Right. Exactly.
I make myself a hot dog, but I'm off this year. I'm going up to my friend's house. We're grilling. We're having a good time.
Nice.
We're grilling. The rains are supposed to start on Thursday and Friday.
Oh, well, of course.
But so, you know, I was thinking about, you know, faith and patriotism, and I know it's easy to be judgmental of the Democrats right now because they keep doing everything they can to be make us judgmental of them, even though we're not supposed to be judgmental.
Exactly.
I don't know how people of faith like intersect with radical, you know, and we know Paula and Lincoln were doing the intersection of faith and politics, but they're kind of like that's like pushed to the side right now. So Chris and I are going to take up the mantle.
That's right. We are intersecting today.
We're intersecting. Here's the thing. I would just feel so at odds. You know what I mean? Could you be a person of deep faith right now and then rah-rah America and then say, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm with the party that's with Zoran Mamdani.
See that? Yeah, that's it's so hard for me to reconcile the anti-Americanism with these people who still claim to be Christians and still claim to be people of deep faith. Yet, you know, we're not supposed to hate at all.
No,
and they these people hate this country, and I'd never be able to wrap my mind around that.
And I think what a lot of them don't get in many parts of the world that they're championing, and I'm not just going with the Islamic states, but you go somewhere else and you can't be radically secular in a lot of parts of the world right now.
You
go down to Latin America, you go down to, you know, you look at, we've talked about, you know, how Africa is such a burgeoning place for Christianity right now.
Mm-hmm.
Africa's, you know, an increasingly non-secular continent.
Oh, absolutely.
South America is a non-secular continent.
And the church is growing in China.
It is.
Despite the best efforts, trying to do everything they can just to push it down, but
they have they go out of there. I remember I don't remember if this is true or not, but I was dating this ballerina once who when I was young, and she went to dance with a company in Sweden.
Mm.
And the Swedes were all Lutherans, I believe, or something. But yeah, I remember I heard something about like the Catholics had to pay a tax
or something. Really?
Yeah. This was back in the late 80s.
Wow.
And I might be misremembering that. I'm a man of some years now, but I have a great memory though. I usually don't fudge. The only details I tend to fudge from the past are parts of my own biography that don't fit with the myth that I've created.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. You know, I wonder, was that the case in the colonies? You know, certain colonies were built around a certain church. I wonder if that was the case if people of other denominations.
It easily could have been. But back to the patriotism thing. The hating America is part of we get talked about being on part of an America First movement right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the obvious counterpart to that would be an America Last movement, which is what I think the Democrats are in the midst of.
At absolutely.
The moment. And where I think that faith could really work is fortunately, faith is not on the decline in the United States.
Right.
And I think that faith, now I know where I wanted to go with this. I think that people returning to faith will become more patriotic. That's how you start pulling people away.
Yeah.
Lead with, you know, your God before your country. It's God and country, not country and God.
Right. Right. Right.
And so you lead with that. And that could be the way. And it's just, you're looking at it from a purely political point of view. That's how you start picking off disaffected Democrats in middle America who have already been moving rightward.
Right. Yeah.
But I call them Joe and Edna Democrat in Iowa. Mm-hmm. That's how I refer like the people who aren't down with Drag Queen Story Hour. I think this is how we start. You convert them into deeper faith. You'll convert them back to being deeper patriots.
Yeah, exactly. I think so too. And part of it too stems from the left is all about dismantling every institution.
Yes.
And that includes both, you know, houses of worship and our national identity.
And being disingenuous about it, too. They will vehemently claim that that's not what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
While they're doing it.
Right, right.
A Democrat will, right now, I'm talking about the coastal Dems, okay? The coastal / Illinois Dems. Uh-huh. I haven't figured out a pithy way to work Illinois in there, so I just tend to call them the coastal Dems.
The coast of the Great Lakes.
A coastal Dem will stab you repeatedly all the while saying, I'm not stabbing you.
Right, right, exactly.
Are you going to trust?
It's the whole, the I'm not touching you thing and the stop hitting yourself thing that kids like to play.
Yeah, exactly.
More dangerous stakes.
So I hope we're moving in. The theory is whenever there are these lurches in any one direction is that there's going to be an eventual correction.
Right, right.
What I worry about in the last couple of decades is that, and I've said this, I've written about this a lot, I said, the Democrats keep moving their center so far to the left.
Mm-hmm.
That when they come back to what they're calling the center now, it's somewhere on the other side of the ghost of Fidel Castro.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's so even with a correction, I worry sometimes that it may not be enough. But and then if people of faith, and this is like the greatest reason I think to pray for the country right now, not for the leaders, for the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always good to pray for the leaders of the country, and we do every week at church, and that's nice and everything. But for the people who are lost and disaffected, you bring them back to faith, not only because it's good for them, good for their souls, good for their lives overall, it ends up, the byproduct ends up being better for the country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm part of a prayer call that that our church does. There's only a handful of us on it now. We were a much larger group, and we kind of keep swelling and you know, contracting in terms of numbers. But the two main most faithful people are me and a lady who goes to our church who is a Democrat. And, you know, her beliefs on many, many issues are a lot different from mine. But one of the things we do is we pray for our country and pray for the leaders to make the decisions that, fall in line with God's will. And, you know, we may be looking at that from different perspectives, but we're praying for the same thing.
I'm still lost as to how any devout Christian of any denomination can be on board with the Democrats' radical approach to abortion.
I'm 100% with you. Yeah, that, I totally don't understand that.
Yeah, it's mystifying. There's a lot of Oh no, I'm looking to see when the 4th of July masses at my parish are while we're doing this, because I forgot to look. I'm going to forget to look if I don't do it right now.
Yeah. We had some interesting things happen in our town with the 4th of July plans. Last year, a bunch of people came in from out of town and caused all kinds of trouble. The city used to do basically an all afternoon thing with live music and stuff going on, food trucks, activities for kids, things like that. And a bunch of people came in from Atlanta. I'll just go ahead and say it that way. They came in from the city and came into our town and caused a lot of violence. And so they've pared things way, way back. And they're also doing, they're doing the fireworks on the 3rd this year for some reason. And not opening up the square for people to come sit until about an hour before the fireworks begin, because it's just a sad world we live in.
Yeah.
But this year we're not doing our town's fireworks. We're going to go somewhere on the 4th to a neighboring town because we want to do it on the 4th.
That is sad. Once again, the people who are most radical about secularism are also they're almost evangelical about their secularism too.
Yes.
For years I've talked about evangelical atheists.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like they're no one proselytizes like an atheist.
That is so true.
they're going to make damn sure you know that they're an atheist and that you're
yes.
It's so tedious. They've all got the same four arguments. Like, it's one of the things that's really is disheartening to me. It's like it's like in pop culture and like in entertainment, where anytime somebody mentions, well, are you a person of faith? Do you go to church? Especially if they're playing a Roman Catholic, they're playing someone who was brought up Catholic and doesn't believe or doesn't, you know, that's always like they have to say it because they think it gives them some kind of street cred in a script. And then I read a lot of books written by physicists who write for lay people, for non-physicists. Yeah, and they have all got to do their half a chapter where they explain to you why they're not people of faith.
Right.
And I'm going like, okay, well, yeah, you're following a science that can't reconcile its two fundamental principles. So pump the brakes, everybody. You guys are flying blind on faith in astrophysics and physics in general right now. So, but it's that they got to, the people have to come in from somewhere else to ruin somebody else's good time.
That's true.
It's like the effort, the fact that you had to think about wanting to put effort into that.
Right. Oh, exactly.
Like, I can be a jerk sometimes, but I never wake up and go, who can I make miserable today?
Yeah. I never seek to do that. Never. I'd rather bring joy to people's lives. I know that sounds cheesy to say that, but
I've said it recently. I tweeted.
You know
it.
What I mean?
Me, I as curmudgeonly as I can be. I actually tweeted that like a month ago. Here in the desert, the reason it would be good for it to rain on the 4th of July is because it will make the fireworks a lot safer. We got a lot of got a lot of firefighters here in Tucson and Pima County who are on overtime and extra duty during fireworks.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
We just, you sit there and you see the fireworks and all of a sudden you see the little fire starting over here. And it's just, it's a little game we play. It's fun. but it's one of the things, it was so cool. We lived in Burbank for a little while. My daughter was first born when I was first married back in the mid-late 90s. And we lived way up by where the best fireworks were. And all you had to do was go, all we had to do was go out in our front yard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was like, because they were up in the foothills that were just a few blocks away from us. And so people were actually coming to our street just to camp on the sidewalk to watch the fireworks there. And all we had to do was walk out in the front yard.
I remember back in 94, we had a lot of rain. It rained all summer long. And so, you know, every city around us was having to reschedule their fireworks. And so we went to probably four or five different towns' fireworks. And one time, a buddy of mine, I think my little brother was with me, and a buddy of mine, we were coming back from somewhere else, and we got stuck in traffic in one of the little towns. And where we were sitting in traffic, we were at the top of a hill, and you know, going down the hill, it opens up to the town square, and we could see their fireworks just with the most perfect view. Cool. It was so much fun.
That's always nice. This was an amazing thing that I never really got to notice before, because I lived on the west side, and the west side of LA is usually a little foggier and more clouded. Yeah. Sometimes you'll drive over from the valley, and most of Los Angeles will be sunny, and then like there's this Brigadoon effect going on over over on the west side. It's all shrouded in clouds. But the last summer I was there, the summer of 2017, I did something I'd never done before. One of the big celebrity cemeteries in Hollywood, not Forest Lawn, the other one. I think it's called, I forgot what it's called. Basically, the Hollywood Cemetery. It might just be that. They do a summer movie series where they show movies on the side of the mausoleum.
Oh, wow.
And then you can just sit there and everybody, you can bring it. It was BYOB. For a long time, I think they changed that. You bring whatever you picnic. So they were doing Jurassic Park on the 4th of July.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
And we went, and then there's a huge fireworks celebration afterwards. Right. But I had never been in further into the city on the 4th of July before. In Los Angeles, and I've seen aerial time-lapse shots of this now that are really cool. I got to find. There are fireworks going off all freaking night.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah. All over the entire city of Los Angeles. So we're just sitting there surrounded by fireworks nonstop.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
That's while so watching cool. Jurassic Park. Then we did our own fireworks. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
That is neat.
Gives you hope and faith in America. Hope in America. Who knows? Who knows? That was 8 summers ago or whatever in Los Angeles. Maybe I don't want to go back and see what it's like now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They probably banned fireworks in California.
Excuse me. I am a little bit stuffy now. No, I'm very glad to be on the side that's allowed to be patriotic, that can enjoy being patriotic, that can enjoy freedom. Enjoy, you know, if they were teaching history properly, you know, the first batch of pilgrims, they were religious refugees.
Uh-huh, exactly.
That's how the whole thing got started. They wanted to come here and practice their faith.
That's right.
Yeah. Their various faiths. I mean, yeah, some of them may have had sketchy criminal pasts, but
how many among us don't?
Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't survive a vetting if I wanted to run for office. if they would just, if I ever filed the paperwork to run for office, the donors would start to do a vetting, and then I would get an email that just said LOL, and then it'd be done.
That's why I wouldn't want to run for office. I mean, not that there's anything terrible in my past, but you know,
There was a t-shirt I wanted to get for this year. There's a site I follow on Instagram. This guy sells t-shirts. He's got some great 4th of July memed t-shirts. And one of them was, "Sorry, communists, I'm grilling today."
That's awesome.
They're sold out. I still have...
Go ahead.
No, I still have my one from last year that I'm going to wear up to my buddy's house on Friday. It says the British blew a 13 colony lead.
That's awesome.
I like that. And my best friend's son, his girlfriend is British. It was his birthday Sunday, and we all got together, and we're all getting together on Friday too. And I said, "Yeah, I'm wearing a shirt just for you. You're gonna love it."
That's awesome.
The other two that they had this year that I'm gonna have to eventually get if they don't sell out is one of them, the Independence Day one. One says "Bad day to be a hot dog."
That's good too. I like that.
My favorite of this year's crop, other than "Sorry Communist," was "The metric system can't measure freedom."
Oh, that's good too. I like that. This year, I'm wearing a shirt that I got for Christmas a couple of years ago. That basically it's the brand's logo in an American flag, but it's one that I have not been able to fit in until now.
Nice.
Yes.
Chris and I are both losing weight, people.
Very excited about that. Very excited.
Both losing weight. Both losing. There's a bodybuilder priest I follow on Instagram.
Yeah.
And his big hashtag is Fit for the Kingdom.
Oh, I love that.
And he works at a university, and he reaches out to young people through he's bodybuilding as part of his ministry.
Okay.
And he talks about being physically fit because that's what God wants you to do.
Right.
And I'm inspired by that. I like the gratitude prayer that I've been telling you about, a lot of times I'll save it until I start the morning walk, and I'll do it while I'm walking.
Right.
Because then all of a sudden, you know, you're out walking and you see things, and then you go, oh, and then you're grateful for that. Uh-huh. I've also, in the morning walks, Chris Queen, started rucking.
Huh.
I bought a 20-pound weighted vest.
Wow.
And it's in the morning. It's on the morning walks now, which I got to tell you, when it's in the mid-90s and you're wearing a weighted vest, that's a little added something.
I was going to say.
I get done and I feel like somebody hit me with a trank dart.
in the humidity we have, by the time I finished walking, I'm sweaty even if it's 68 degrees outside.
Yeah,
just because of the humidity. And I basically this time of year when I finish my walk, I sometimes I'll walk in my bathing suit, but sometimes I'll change into the bathing suit and just get right in the pool to rinse off.
That would be nice to have a pool to jump into when I'm done with my morning walks. I don't know how I spent all those summers in Florida golfing all the time because, you know, I'm a desert person and I'm not used to humidity.
Yeah.
But I know we're wandering off topic, but we're not talking about faith that much, but
Boy, are we.
We get there. We have a thing we're going to talk about. We've got, Chris has another guest lined up. I'm reaching out. Finally going to reach out to Amber, the religious hippie. I keep saying that, but I've been waiting. I was going to reach out last week, but then she was on her way to a conference.
Okay.
The young Catholics are busy.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of stuff going. They've got groups and it's she's speaking at a lot of events. It's energy. It's in this country, especially to see, it's a big youth movement in Christianity.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And big, too. Really big. That's a lot of fun to watch. We could talk about that. We were going to talk one day about my journey in my 20s while I was discerning whether I should become a priest or not and how weird that was. That was like, that'll be about me, so we'll do it again in a while. But it's it was legit. It was a legit discernment process. It just was.
we also talked about doing kind of a rundown of our favorite faith related apps and podcasts.
Yeah, and I got a few of those.
I've got some new ones to add to that list now.
I'm going
to
go look at some of the old ones that I used to use a lot because several years ago I was bouncing around between. I've narrowed it down to a couple in recent years, but I might go back. And thanks to you, I want to tell everyone out there, thanks to Chris inspiring me, I've started to listen to podcasts again. Nice. just faith podcasts though.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure as heck not going to take my time off to listen to political crap.
No, yeah.
I don't when I'm not being paid to talk or write about politics, I never talk or write about politics.
The only political podcast that I listen to is also faith-based. It's Albert Mohler's morning briefing that he does, where he looks at the news from a Christian perspective.
I'm listening right now to my favorite one is the Catholic Stuff You Should Know, and it's these young priests started it off like 15 years ago. They're a little older now, but then they've got a couple more, and they're doing so. It's like it's always two priests talking about stuff that they've just delved into and learned about and are interested by.
Right.
And I've been listening to some other podcasts, to some other faith based podcasts. So we will do an apps rundown one day, then we can do a podcast rundown one day too.
See, that's two episodes right there.
Two episodes plus. And who was it you were going to invite on? Somebody who's running for school?
Yeah, a friend of mine who is on our local school board. He's on staff at my church, and he's also local school board, and wanted to talk to him about public service as a Christian.
Speaking of faith and politics.
Yep.
Let's pray to God and be thankful for our freedom.
Yes,
absolutely. As we're more aware of it this week, and then Democrats joy. Are out there are like sacrificing people to Baal or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right, for to Moloch.
To Moloch, yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
there are several of them. I can't remember all of them. Like Chemosh, Moloch, Baal.
I gotta go to confession. I really do need to go. What day is today? Today's Tuesday. I missed it today. I'll have to wait until Thursday. I'll have to wait until Thursday.
July 1st. We finally made it through Pride Month, and it's the end of our fiscal year, so please donate to our organization month.
Oh, Pride Month. Pride Month really didn't have all the in-your-face this year that it used to.
Not really.
I did start to write something last week. I might still do. It was one of those things about trans visibility, which drives me nuts. I'm like, there has never been a fringe group that's talked about more in my history as a grown up in American politics.
I was going to say between their loudmouthness and their flamboyance, they are absolutely visible.
Well, we thank you for listening today. We ramble a lot, but anybody, as I've said before, if you got used to, Unwoke, you would know that Kevin and I ramble a lot too, and rambling is kind of the thing. Scripted podcasts are fun. We will script it every once in a while. We do have guests, as you know, and we want more guests. We have to do more episodes to get more guests. That's the way this has to go first. Okay, that's what we're trying to tell you. We got to have a body of work for the guests to go, okay, well, at least they've done 20 episodes now or 25 episodes now.
Right.
So that's going to make things a lot easier.
That's true.
And then maybe we'll hit up Salem for that. But if you're used to the rambling, we like to. And again, these are just casual conversations. We should record next week. Yeah, there's nothing interfering with us.
Yeah, I don't see why we wouldn't.
No Unwoke this week because Kevin's traveling around Michigan. Kevin and I are never in Michigan at the same time anymore. But we're each in Michigan a couple of times a year. I am more than he is lately, but he's from Michigan. So he goes back there a lot. But we're never there.
Just your paths ever crossed while you were there?
Not lately. It's been 3 years since the last time we were both in Michigan at the same time, I think.
Oh, wow.
But so no Unwoke this week. However, my good friend Kira Davis is joining me later on Thursday. We're going to do just like a rah-rah yay 4th of July episode of the Cruiser Cabana. Nice. And Kira and I need to catch up. She just went to Europe, which to me is icky, but I'm kidding. Love you, Europe.
Oh, I was going to say it might be kind of dicey right now to go to Europe.
I was hanging out, having beer with a good friend of mine who I met through, who lives here, but I met through 5 o'clock somewhere originally. Okay. And I said, I don't know if I'd go anywhere other than Poland right now in Europe.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I'd go to Ireland because that's my ancestral homeland too. And Ireland is so like remote that usually the weird terrorist types never mess with it.
Right, right. Yeah, the terrorism they have is all homegrown.
Yeah. And then you can still avoid that in a pub.
That's right.
And I said I wouldn't go anywhere else. I said everywhere else I've been in the world in the last 15 years, I've been under the protection of the United States military.
Oh, that's good.
I said I'm not flying solo anywhere. I'm not, like, you know, the first time I went to the Middle East, I get greeted at the airport with, "Hi, I'm Brad. I'm the head of your security detail." I mean, that's the way I like to travel.
That is nice to have a security detail. Yeah. I aspire to that. not really.
It was fun. Go everywhere in a convoy. Oh, but, wow. Well, we'd like to thank you all for listening. We'd like, happy Independence Day, everyone. Yes. Happy freedom. Happy yay. Bad day to be a hot dog. The metric system cannot measure freedom.
God bless America.
God bless America. And the only God Bless America t-shirt I have on right now has Sydney Sweeney on it, too. Which is not the most faith-based thing, but she became the running joke, but kind of not running joke, official girlfriend of 5 o'clock somewhere.
There you go.
Last year. So, because we think she's a closet righty.
Wouldn't it be something if you could have her on as a guest?
People have talked about that. So we should just hit her up just for the fun of it to see if she'll come on as a guest. But yeah, there's a big rumor that she's a closet right wing nut job. She's basically admitted that her family is.
Okay.
And so that's like part of the reason. But that I got the shirt from the same guy. It's a Sydney Sweeney with the American flag backdrop. God bless America.
Love it.
I walk around the neighborhood. People are like, huh? All right. Well, thank you. And we will be, I promise I'll be more coherent next time. Chris is always coherent, but Chris is working right now too. Chris is bifurcating his attention.
That's right.
I'm working too, but not editing anything.
I was going to say, yeah, you can kind of,
I had to edit 10 things last week and I'm exhausted from it while I was filling it as the nighttime editor. Yeah, I was like, oh, God. But you know what? I'm not going to complain. Almost everything that I edited last week was perfectly clean copy.
That's good.
The one thing that I missed was the thing that Sarah talked to you about. That there were two words were reversed.
Right, right.
And that's the kind of thing when you read it, you know what she's trying to say. So in your mind, you don't notice it.
You still process it. Right, right.
Processes it. And then I went back and looked and I went, oh, that was the only thing. And that was fixed right away. Everything else was clean copy last week. Did not mind it.
That's good. That's always good.
Don't anybody at the mothership get any ideas. Doesn't mean I want to edit more. No. No. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. We will hopefully be back with you next week.
That's right. See y'all.